I mean, what the Lord has been convicting me about, it might pertain to you, it might not, but it certainly has been something that the Lord has dealt with me the last few weeks, and even more so in the last few days. So I just want you to kind of picture your favorite room in your house, you know, a place where you just feel really comfortable. You know, I mean, maybe you want to close your eyes, you spend a lot of leisure time there, you feel free. You know, it's just a nice, comfortable room. And I want you to look around that room in your mind's eye. You know, what do you see in that room? You know, and there's something there. I know it's in my den, it's in my family room where we spend a lot of time. We sit there together often. My wife and my daughters and John, we sit there often. Picture that room. Picture your room where you just feel real comfortable. And there's something there in that room that's kind of in a place of honor, place of prominence. Everybody sees it. When you walk in, everybody sees it. It's like in a place of kind of, maybe it's on the wall, maybe it's just on a big table. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody have an idea what I'm talking about? The what?
The
TV. Oh. The TV. It's not a microwave. I know it, and I'm laughing, but I should be crying. I really should be. This is a hard message for me, because I know it's going to cause me trouble. Yes. I mean, I'm going to start by just talking about, you know, Joshua and the city of Jericho. That's where we're going to start. You know, Jericho was shut up securely. It was tight because of Israel. And the Lord said to Joshua, I've given you this land. I've given you Jericho. I've given you the king and the men. I want you to march around the city one time for 6 days. And he says, choose 7 priests and they'll bear trumpets before the ark, and they'll carry the ark around, and on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, and the priests will blow the trumpets. This is from Joshua chapter 6. He says, and then when the priests make a long blast on the trumpet, all the people that are walking there shall make a shout, a loud shout, and the walls of the city are going to fall down flat, and the people are going to go straight in. So Joshua, you know, gets with the priests, he gets with the people, and he tells them what God's told them to do. We're going to walk around the city of Jericho. The first day, one time, the priests will go in front of the Ark of the Covenant, and they'll be blowing the trumpets, and the armed men will go in front of them, and behind the Ark of the Covenant will be the rear guard. We'll do that 7 times, and the people will go around. And you know, Joshua commanded the people, as you walk around the city, don't shout, don't make a noise until I say shout. So they went around the city once the first day, once the second day, the same thing on the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th and the 6th day. They went around one time, and the priests were just blowing the trumpets, but nobody was shouting, nobody was saying anything. But on the 7th day, they arose early. And this time, they did the same thing. They walked around the city in the same manner, only this time they did it 7 times. They walked around the city. And on the 7th time, when the priests blew on the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And it says, the city shall be accursed, and all that is in it. Cursed, it's dedicated to destruction by the Lord. He said, when you go into that city, only Rahab shall live. And because she hid the spies that were sent to spy out the land, she hid those messengers. And he says, and you shall in every way keep away from the accursed thing. Because if you take the accursed thing, you will become an accursed thing. You, and you'll make the camp, too, the camp of Israel, an accursed thing, and you'll trouble it. He said, but all the silver and all the gold, all the vessels of brass and the iron and all those things are consecrated. They're set apart. They're kind of holy unto the Lord. But everything else is to be burned up. So the people shouted, and you know what happened? The wall fell down. And they all went in, and they took the city. The city was utterly destroyed. They said the city was burned up. The men, the women, the young, the old, the sheep, the donkeys, it was all, the city was burned to the ground. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron were put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And they saved the house of Rahab. That's chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6. Well, you can open your Bibles and turn to Joshua. Turn to Joshua chapter 7. I'll continue to tell you the story, but it's a good story, talking about something that's accursed, a cursed thing. The land was accursed, and everything in the land, all the people. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. They committed a trespass. They sinned a sin regarding the accursed thing, because Achan, whose name means trouble, you're looking for trouble? That's his name. Achan took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled, and it burned against the children of Israel. Burned against all the children of Israel, not just Achan, not just Achan's family, but it was the Lord was angry. In fact, that he said the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed thing. Well, Joshua didn't know about this. So what Joshua did in verses 2 through 9 of chapter 7, Joshua sent men to Ai to spy out this little city, Ai. And so they went and they spied out Ai, and they came back and they told Joshua, they said, just send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take this city because it's small. Ai is just a few. So 3,000 men went out, but you know what happened? They ended up fleeing from Ai. They had to run away from this little small army. In fact, as they were running away, about 36 of the soldiers were killed. So the hearts of the people of Israel, the children of Israel, were grieved. They melted. The Bible says their hearts of the people melted. And Joshua and the elders tore their clothes and they put dust or ashes on their faces. And they were asking the Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River? The Canaanites will hear a bit. We'll hear about this, how this little country of Ai, this little army of Ai has run us off. And it says, the Canaanites will hear this and they're going to cut off our name from the face of the earth. They're going to destroy us because they know if this little Ai can scare us off, then we're in big trouble. This is the same people who defeated the big city of Jericho, this huge city with huge walls, but Ai made them flee. Well, verse 10 says, the Lord told Joshua, get up. Why do you lay on your face? It says, Israel has sinned. They have taken of the accursed thing. They have put it among their stuff. Therefore, the children, verse 12, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies because they were accursed. neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. So the Lord told Joshua and the children of Israel, he said, get up, sanctify yourselves, make yourselves holy. There's an accursed thing in your midst. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Well, they wanted to know what was wrong. So the next morning, the Lord showed him what was wrong. The Lord took the tribe of Judah, then the family of the Zerites was taken, and the house of Achan was taken. And Achan was taken. So Achan was picked out. God picked out from all the tribe of Judah, well, actually from the whole children of Israel. He picked out the tribe of Judah and then the family of the Zerites, and then from the house of Achan. And Achan was picked out and brought before Joshua. And Joshua said to Achan, what have you done? And then Achan said, I saw among the spoils. He said, this is what I saw. I saw a goodly, a beautiful Babylonian garment. I saw 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, about 50 shekels of gold. And I took them. They are hidden in my tent. So that was the accursed thing that was in the camp of Israel. So Joshua took the silver and the garment, the Babylonian garment, this goodly garment, and the gold. And he took Achan and Achan's sons and Achan's daughters and Achan's oxen and his donkeys and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And he brought them into the valley of Achor. It also means trouble. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? Why have you troubled us, trouble? The Lord will trouble you. So all Israel stoned him and burned them with fire after they stoned them. So they stoned Achan and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his donkey and his sheep and his tent, and they burned him with fire. And then verse 26 said, they raised a great heap of stones over him. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. So after they got rid of the accursed thing, the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. And that place that they stoned and burned Achan and his family and all that he had was called the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble. That's the background of what I want to talk about, the accursed thing. Amen. And I guess you figure I'm going to talk about the television. The television is an accursed thing that we might have in our house. Now, if we look at these verses again, just real quickly, the ones in chapter 6, I want to look at them real quickly. Chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. It says, the city shall be accursed if they don't destroy everything. And all that's in there is going to be accursed. Be destroyed, set for destruction, dedicated for destruction, devoted for destruction. And if ye in any wise, you know, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. Keep yourselves from the accursed thing, unless you make yourselves a cursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. That's in chapter 6. In chapter 7, you know, I'll go over the verses in verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. Well, the Lord, verse 11, you know, the Lord says Israel has sinned, not just Achan. It's kind of interesting that the Lord says Israel has sinned. That's why 36 men were killed. 36 soldiers were killed. The army of Israel had defeated Jericho, a huge army, a huge city, probably no casualties, but just to fight against Ai, they lost 36 men, 36 dads, 36 brothers were probably family men killed. So they were grieved. But the reason why God says Israel sinned, because they've taken the accursed thing and they've brought it into their own house and they've put it among their own stuff. He said the children of Israel couldn't stand, verse 12, before their enemies because they were accursed. So he tells them to get up, sanctify yourselves, make yourselves holy. You know, so that's what we're going to talk about today. Make yourself holy. Get rid of the accursed thing. You can't stand against your enemies if you got an accursed thing in your camp. Well, why is the TV an accursed thing? Why would that be an accursed thing? Why would that be something the Lord has dedicated to destruction? It's just an electric appliance, you know. It can be used for good. Or if you think about the silver and the gold and the garment, those things are not bad. I mean, gold and silver, certainly, that's good. And the garment, the Bible tells us it was a goodly garment. It uses the same word, tor, which is when God created the heavens and the earth, he said, it is good. That's the same word here. That garment was good. But yet it was the accursed thing. Why was it accursed? Because God told him to get rid of it. Also because of what it was. You know, it represented the world. Like in the sins of the world. I'm going to turn right here to 1 John and just read 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Boy, that's the television. The lust of the flesh. Boy, our flesh lusts that television. We love it. I hate to confess it, but boy, we love the television. I love the television. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Boy, we sit there in front of it. We're just so pleased. And the pride of life. Boy, that's a picture of the world. That's a picture of what we see on television. And James 4:4 tells us that if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. And the world loves the TV. No question about it. No question, the world does love the TV. It's controlled by the God of this world. No question about it. And the spirit of Antichrist. And you know what? The devil is using this thing to corrupt the morals of God's children. Because we see it, we love it, we lust after it. It gives us pleasure. I mean, just honestly, could any Christian truly say that the television is a godly thing? Boy, I have this godly thing in my house. In fact, sometimes we have the television up. I know in my house it's embarrassing, but I have not a big television, but bigger than it was years ago. Our television years ago was small. Now if you have a 40-inch television, it's a normal size. So I have this television, it's about 40 inches. Then right next to it, I have a sign that says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. It's small, though. It's just a little sign. So here I got this giant TV and a little sign. Praise the Lord. Don't laugh. Don't laugh at me.
You heard the song.
I just recently started watching something on TV that I really, really like. You see, we were overseas in Russia and China for a lot of the 90s. And there's a show that I just thought is so good. I watched a little bit of it when I came back home on a little furlough from Russia. You know what it was? Even my phone tells me what it was. It was Law and Order. When Betsy calls my phone, I was going to bring it up. My phone plays the theme song from Law and Order. That's a show. When I first saw it, when I came back in the early 90s, I loved it. This is a good show. And when I got back, I missed most of Law and Order. I missed most, especially the early ones. I don't like the new ones. Those are really filthy. Law and Order, SVU, and Law and Order Special, whatever they call criminal. I've never really watched those. But when Law and Order, they had some specials where they were going to show on the channel all the old Law and Orders, the original Law and Orders, with Jack McCoy. I don't know if you know Jack McCoy. He's the prosecutor. Jack McCoy, he's the head prosecutor. Pardon? He's a friend of mine, Jack. And then they have Detective Lenny Briscoe and Detective Green. Boy, these are my friends. I mean, I liked what they did. I mean, you know, the DA, Assistant DA Jack McCoy, was such a good attorney. And these two detectives, Lenny and Detective, well, I say I miss Perry Mason. And so, I mean, I really like these guys. But you know what happened? I think back, every show, every single show, had murder. Oh, yeah. And rape. Yeah. Every show had murder and rape. And you know what? I'm right here at the end of my Bible in 2 John, 1 John. And I can flip over to the very end of my Bible, Revelations chapter 21 and verse 8. It says, these are the people that are not going to be in heaven, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the... Yeah, Revelation 21, chapter 8. Did I say that wrong? Revelation 21, chapter 8. They're going to all have their place in the lake which burneth with fire. And here I am watching this show with murderers and rapes and liars and whoremongers. And these are the people that are going to have their place in the lake of fire. And I'm getting pleasure out of it. Or even worse, I love the phrases that says, be not deceived. You know, be not deceived in 1 Corinthians. I love that little phrase that comes up in the Bible every now and then, be not deceived. Be not deceived in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And these are the people I'm watching on TV. Be not deceived, chapter 6, verse 9. Which says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. That's what Law and Order is full of. Even if you know all the people in the show, they're fornicators. They're always showing fornicators. They're idolaters. They're adulterers. Effeminate. They have homosexuals in the show, and they don't say anything bad about them. They don't say they honor these people as their actors. In the roles they're playing, it says, neither thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. These are the people that I'm watching on television. In fact, they're in my home, and I kind of feel like I'm friends with them. You know what I mean? And these are actors. And everything they're doing is not real. It's not true. But I'm kind of like becoming, I know these people. I mean, I know Jack McCoy. He's like my hero. And then I read, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Be not deceived. What am I sowing? What am I sowing into my heart? You know, these these shows with Law and Order. They're full of wickedness. I'm sowing it into my heart. I'm going to reap that. And another, be not deceived. I told you these, I mean, I feel like these guys, even though I've never met them, I've watched them many times on television now for the past couple of weeks. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. This evil relationship, these evil friends are going to make me bad. I haven't, you know, the truth, since I started to prepare this message, I haven't watched Law and Order. I guess I learned something. Praise God. But then the other things I don't watch much on television. I really, really don't. I'm not a television man. But the few things I watch, I like to watch Jeopardy. But do you know, almost weekly, if you watch Jeopardy, maybe not every single day, but they have somebody on Jeopardy, a man who says, well, if I win this money, I'm going to do something special with my husband. Yeah. Wait, what? Yeah. This is, you know, Jeopardy is full of homosexuals. Right. Yeah. They often have homosexuals on Jeopardy. And they don't hold nothing back. I mean, can you imagine going on nationwide television, probably one of the most popular game shows on television, and telling the world that you have a husband and you're a man? And I mean, if I was, what's his name, Alex Trebek? He's a friend of mine too now. But, I mean, he never says anything. He didn't say, what did you say? That's what I'd have to say. If I was doing this game show, I would say, did I miss something there? And then, you know, I mean, a couple other things I watch. I don't watch much, I'm telling you, but every now and then we watch the Cooking Channel. We watch Chopped. I mean, these men and women on Chopped, they are the same way. The women look like men. The men look like women. They got tattoos up and down their arms. They got that weirdest haircuts you can imagine. I mean, and these are people I'm watching. Even a good show like Love It or List It. This is where, you know, a real estate agent and I guess she's like a construction manager, a contractor. This is a good show, but often on these shows, they have, you know, yeah, well, first of all, you know it's not always all true. It's not all true. You find that out that they make these shows up a little bit. That way people will watch them. And then just I think the last thing I watched on television was Shark Week, just a couple of days ago. So I'm watching, and I'm truthfully, these great white sharks look like demons. I know they're not. I know, but the way they portray these sharks, these are God's creatures. They're like demons. I mean, last time I watched Shark Week, they have these little otters that swim. They're so cute. These little otters, they're swimming in the water, and then they lay on their backs. And then the shark comes up. I mean, well, how does that make you feel? I'm never going in the water. But, you know, I'm going to stop there. But that's what comes into my house. I'm not trying to be funny. The other thing is that the TV causes so much stumbling. You know, stumbling. You know, we don't want to stumble, and we don't want to cause other people to stumble. Let's just turn our Bibles over to Matthew chapter 18. Just quick. Matthew chapter 18. I want to read this verse. We'll look at verse number 7. Matthew 18:7. It says, woe unto the world because of offenses. Offenses are things that cause you to stumble and fall. Sin. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. You know, if Just the next verse I want to read is verse 9. It says, if thy eye offend thee, you know, we read verse 7, verse 9, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than rather having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. I mean, this is pretty serious. You know, if your eye offends you, pluck it out, because it's better to live life with one eye instead of go to hell with two eyes. I agree. But the Lord is not asking us to pluck out an eye. He's just asking us to pluck out the TV. I mean, it's not so bad. I mean, amen. Oh, you know, so a TV in your house could cause a brother to stumble. I mean, do you ever think of that? I mean, you walk into your... I hate to think of it, but when people come into my house and they see my TV, I guess they think, well, it's okay, he watches everything on TV. You know? He watches TV. If it's a brother who has trouble, I mean, there's a lot of things on TV you shouldn't watch. And I don't watch them. But if I have a TV in my house, it's kind of like, well, this is okay. You know, Pastor Joe, Brother Joe has a TV in his house, I guess it's okay for me to watch it. You know, if you turn to Romans, just, you know, we shouldn't cause our brothers and sisters to stumble. Romans chapter 14. Just turn there quickly. And read this verse with me. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. It says, let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know, we don't want to cause our brother to stumble. And I mean, you may not watch things on TV that are awful, even though everything on TV that I see is awful. But it may cause another person to think, well, this is okay. A TV is okay. It says, judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I think that, you know, a younger brother in the Lord, a younger sister in the Lord, one that may not be as mature, they may not, you know, be able to have a TV in their house. So by the TV in my house may cause that brother to think it's okay. We see the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if you look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 8, chapter 9. It says, but take heed, lest by any means... We have a freedom. You have a freedom to put a TV in your house. You have this liberty. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. You know, in this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing about eating food sacrificed to idols, eating meat sacrificed to idols. We know there are no idols, and we know there are nothing wrong with eating this good meat that's been sacrificed to an idol. But if it causes a brother or sister to stumble, then don't do it. Amen. You know, we shouldn't do anything. We shouldn't have anything in our home that may cause a weaker brother or a weaker sister to stumble and fall, because we don't want them to be offended. We want them to be saved, not to fall, not to stumble into sin. And I want to look at something here, and back to the Old Testament, if you can. Turn back to the Old Testament, to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we see verse 6. This is talking about the Jews, but it also refers to us. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth." That same kind of phrase is in 1 Peter. You know, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You know, we're a holy people. We're not lost as sinners. We're God's people. If you're in that same chapter of Deuteronomy, instead of verse 6, let's see verse 26. It says, "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house." Don't bring an abomination into your house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. You bring a cursed thing into your house, you're going to be cursed. "But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." In that same chapter, some promises that God makes to his people. Well, verse 9 says, "Know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, he is the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." God keeps covenant. We keep God's commandment. God keeps his promises to us. And then one of the things he promises is, if we read in verse 14, just a few verses down, verse 14 in Deuteronomy chapter 7, "Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male nor female barren among you." Boy, that's a good promise. "Or among your cattle." So, you know, children are a blessing. You'll be blessed. Your men, your women will be blessed. Even your animals will be blessed. And then verse 15, which is such a good verse for us to stand on, God's promise, he says, "And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." The Lord will take away all sickness from the midst of thee. Boy, is that a good promise? You follow the Lord, do what he tells you to do, and God promises to bless you, take sickness away from you. Because the world is full of sickness. Egypt is a good picture of the world. And if you look at the world today, it's got sickness. But I don't know, but I do know in my home, mostly my friends, God has taken sickness away from us. I mean, we haven't had too many people in our church. A few, yes, did get the COVID virus, but we come, we love one another, we meet together. We haven't heard too much about the virus being in the midst of us. God's taking away sickness. So praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, you know, and we've been studying 2 Peter. You know, we've been studying 2 Peter. And I mean, I guess those verses have also made me think about the television and the world and what's going to happen to this world. You know, in 2 Peter, verse 10 says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." The day of the Lord is coming. We think that day is soon. The Lord's going to come like a thief in the night. Yeah. He says, "And the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." You know. Yeah. Well, first of all, it says that the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night. He's going to come when we're not expecting it. There's a verse in Luke chapter 12, verse 37, it says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes shall find watching. Not watching the television, though. The Lord's blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. He doesn't mean watching TV. I hope I'm not watching TV when the Lord comes. Because I think if the Lord's going to rapture the saints, and there I am watching the wickedness of the world on television, I might get passed by. So, we are to be a holy people, special to the Lord. So that's the way we're supposed to live. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons? We've studied these verses over and over again. What manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness? That's how we're supposed to be, holy and godly. Not like the world. Because this world's going to be burned up. We don't want to be like the world. I don't think we should be even friends with the world. Friends with Jack McCoy and Detective Lenny Briscoe and all those folks that are on television. Psalm 1, verse 2 says, blessed. I love that psalm. If you don't mind, turn to Psalms chapter 1. It's a good psalm. Blessed are the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I don't even need to read it. Huh? For his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law shall he meditate day and night. Well, you see, I look at that and it's, you know, blessed is the man that's not seated in the seat of the scornful. Scorn is sitting right in front of the television set, in their chair, in their couch, right in front of the... Blessed is the man that is not seated in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight, he delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. I mean, how long should we be meditating on God's word? Day and night. Doesn't leave any time for the television. Well, and then, you know, Psalm 101. We looked at Psalm 1. Let's look at Psalm 101. This is a verse 2 that's powerful, powerful verse to make us think about the abomination that's in our house, that cursed thing. Psalm 101, verse 3. I don't know why I have this outlined in my... But it says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Big letters, TV. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Those that, so, we're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. We're the bride of Christ, you know. We should be spotless and blameless, without blemish. You know, do we realize that when we watch television, we're watching television in the presence of the Lord? You know? I mean, he tells us, Matthew 28, verse 20, says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. New King James Version says, to the end of the age. Jesus promises to be with us. So when you're sitting there watching TV, you might think you're watching it all by yourself. No one's seeing what I'm watching. The Lord's sitting there with you. That's his promise. We take that promise as a good thing. Oh, I'm so blessed that the Lord's with me, you know, as I go through this trial, as I go through this difficult time. But the Lord is with you when you're doing things that don't please him. You need to realize as we're sitting there in front of the television, we're in the presence of the Lord. He probably has. That's probably the truth. He probably said, you're watching that channel, I'm out of here. And the truth is, if he left and you stayed, that's bad. He might have left, but then I'll read Hebrews 13:5. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So maybe he's sitting there next to me and he keeps beating me. What are you... Turn that thing off. Better yet, get it out of here. So, And another verse that we can think about, you know, we are the temple of God. Amen. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I know you know these verses, but when we think about them from a little bit different perspective, you know, we think we're the temple of God. That's wonderful. But we need to not defile the temple of God. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Oop, I'm in the wrong book. My old Bible, my pages are so thin. I love this Bible, though. I wasn't going to use my old Bible, but I like it. Yeah, verses, did I say? I'll look them up again. 19 and 20. No, 16 and 17. 16 and 17. Says, I have them outlined, I should say. Yeah, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So if you're there, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which ye are. You know, so if you bring an accursed thing, a thing that's dedicated for destruction into your home, you become a thing dedicated for destruction. You become an accursed thing. And that's, you know, if any man defile the temple of God, any man defile him shall God destroy, for you are the temple of God is holy. We're to be holy, which temple you are. And in the same thing, if you turn over to chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Or do you sometimes sense that you grieve the Holy Spirit? Or you lose His anointing as you spend time in front of the television? You know, I mean, we need to be... you know, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Being in front of the television dulls that sensitivity to God, to His holiness, to... Amen. You know, what are we feeding our souls when we're in front of the television set? When we're watching TV, what are we feeding ourselves? Are we feeding ourselves the bread from heaven? Are we drinking the living water? No! The TV food feeds us junk food. You know, junk food is delicious, it's pleasurable. Yeah, we like junk food. We don't eat it too much, though, because it'll make us sick. We won't be healthy. You know, but that's what the television is. It's just junk food. We should be eating the bread from heaven. We should be feasting on the Lord, drinking the living water, not the polluted water of the television. You know, it was one of the things talking about when Pastor James, who was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, when the Judaizers came and they wanted to have circumcision and they wanted to have the Gentile Christians follow the law. He said, one of the things he told them to do, he said, abstain from the pollution of idols. There weren't too many things he told the church they had to do. They didn't have to keep the law, but he did say, abstain from the pollution of idols. That's what the television is. It's a pollution. We're drinking the polluted water. Can you imagine? Ugh. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10:27. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You can't. You know, you can't be drinking from the cup of the Lord and drinking from the cup of the devil. And we also studied the last two Sundays, the spirit of the Antichrist. And one of the things the spirit of the Antichrist is doing is dulling the world and us too to sin. You know, we're becoming insensitive to sin. Instead of being disgusted and horrified at what we see on television, it doesn't seem so bad. You know, you see it every day. You see a guy talking about his husband, or you see homosexual marriages, or you see people who are fornicating, people who are committing adultery, people who are lying and stealing and murdering, and it doesn't seem so bad. It happens every day. I see it in my living room every day. Can't be too bad. What's happening is the devil, with that spirit of Antichrist, is dulling us to the sin. And it becomes acceptable to us. And that's what's going to happen in the last days. We're going to see a whole lot more sin. And if it doesn't horrify us and disgust us, it's terrible. It says in the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Turn the television on. "Covetous." Yep. "Boasters." "Proud." "Blasphemers." Oh! Even my favorite show, Law and Order, they always blaspheme in the name of the Lord. You know, okay, and abortion. Right there, they always saying, "What's wrong with," you know, they protecting disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers. Man, this is what's going to be in the last days. And we're being desensitized to it. And then so much horror on television. You ever see the horror shows on television? You know what it does? It makes us lose our horror of hell. Oh, hell, it's just another horror movie. You know? We're losing our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We're losing our sensitivity to the wickedness of sin. We're becoming dull to sin by seeing it every day, even though we don't even notice it. It's just good entertainment. Just good. I'm not. Do you feel yourself wanting to justify, to defend the television? You know, there's a lot of good programs on television. I only watch the good ones. I don't watch anything bad. I might watch a preacher. I'll watch some good godly shows. I only watch good things. You know what it sounds like to me? When I was back in college, I had a friend who loved the Playboy magazine. You know what he told me? He said, "I don't look at the pictures. I just read the good articles." Yeah, right. And you know what? I think he was right. Some of the best authors, some of the best writers in America were writing articles for Playboy. So he was right. But I don't think he just looked at the articles. He was justifying Playboy. He said, "There's a lot of good articles in there. I'll read the articles." And he said, "I'm studying writing. I'm learning to write. I need to read these articles." And these were the yeah, right. Yeah, who would believe that? Even me, who's gullible as you can be, didn't believe him. You know? I can imagine telling that to a Christian brother. He comes in and sees a Playboy magazine on your table. He'd say, "Oh, I only read the articles. I don't look at the pictures." Wouldn't that cause him to stumble? You know? Sheesh. Yeah. So you can't defend the TV. You try, but you really can't. You say, "Well, maybe we need to look at the TV with a little balance, you know. Let's not get too extreme. Balance with the world? Are we supposed to be balanced with the world? No! We're supposed to be extremely different than the world. We're to be different from the world. Not balanced, but radically different." Amen. We can't say, "Well, I'm going to look at the TV, but with a balance." No. We're radically different. You're still trying to defend it. I know people are thinking, "I don't want to get rid of my television. It's almost like you feel like you can't live without it. You know, like you're addicted to it. I tell you what.
Yeah.
Don't watch TV for about 5 or 6 days and see what happens. Yeah. Your pace, I have a watch that Betsy gave me. I don't have it on this morning, but it's a Fitbit watch. You know, Betsy says, how in the world are you getting so many steps? You're in the house all day long. I'm pacing back and forth. I won't turn the TV on, so I'm pacing back and forth and praying. It's like, you know, it's really how many of us are addicted to the TV? We try to defend it. It's because we're addicted to it.
Phones too. Computers, phones, the whole thing.
Pardon?
Computers worse.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm not computer illiterate. I am computer illiterate. So I don't have a problem with the computer. But praise God, we're not going to talk about that. You know, you're thinking to yourself, all right, maybe I'll try to get rid of my TV. What am I going to do without my television set? Am I going too long? No. Because I got a few more things to say. You know, we serve a God who's a creator, a creating God. He can surely give us ways, open our minds with ideas of things that we can do without watching the television. You know, people didn't have a television 50, 60 years ago. They did okay. We don't really need a television. You really don't need one. And there's so much you can do if you just think about it. So many godly things you can do. I mean, really, you can spend more. I mean, is there anything wrong? We know we read in Psalm 1, you know, thus it is a man that meditates in the word of the Lord day and night, you know, night and day, and it's his delight. He can spend more time in prayer. You know, instead of sitting in front of the television, you can pray. Worship. So much more Bible time. You know, you can listen to godly music. There's things you can do. Not you say, well, you know, I've been reading the Bible, I've been praying, I'm going to try something different. Well, you can read. There's so many good things to read. Christian books, even the classics. Many of the classics, the old classics, those are great things to do.
You're right. Amen.
How about just be with your family and your friends? Call people up.
Amen.
Write them. Play with them. You know, the things you can do instead of sitting in front of the television. You don't need a television. And then there's one thing that we all can do is a little more exercise. You don't get any exercise in front of the television. Maybe if you put one of those treadmills in your... But no, you can just... You know, we can do some things in front of the television. Run, walk. I mean, instead of going watching the television. You know, another thing that's just really nice is just rest. Just sit, turn the TV off, get rid of the TV and just sit quietly. Just sit there quietly and sleep, rest. Boy, do we need that. We don't need a TV. You know? Well, back to where we started. Back to where we started with the story of Joshua and Jericho. You know, God flattened the walls of Jericho and gave the people the promised land. Yet Achan saw only the accursed thing. He didn't see what God had given him. God had given him the promised land. He saw the gold and the silver and that garment. He disobeyed God, so he was destroyed. And not only him, but his family, all that he had. He also caused harm to his people, to the children of Israel. You know, Jesus died on the cross to flatten all the walls that keep us away from what God has promised us.
Amen.
Jesus' death on the cross, man, those walls fell down. We can go right into the promises of God. We sang that. One of the things we sang is the promises are fulfilled.
Yep.
We just need to know that. The evidence of God's goodness is in our lives.
Amen.
You know, we must obey Him and see how good He is. He's so alive. God is so alive, so working in our lives. I mean, He was right there working with Joshua and the children of Israel He's the same way with us. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's so alive in our lives. Everything is flattened that separates us from His promises. But then it's kind of a sobering thought that our obedience to what God tells us to do determines not only what happens in our own lives, but the lives of our family and even the lives of our friends in church. You know, can you believe that? Can you think about that? When Achan stole the accursed thing, he took the accursed thing and brought it into his tent. His family was destroyed. Everything he owned was destroyed. And the children of Israel were defeated at Ai, and they lost 36 men. You know, we've talked about the TV as the accursed thing. There may be something else. Maybe the TV's not in your house, or maybe you don't have a problem. But maybe there's something that you need to get out of your house. So I'm not just talking about the television. That was the thing that we talked about today. But if you have something in your home that you need to get rid of, yeah, seek the Lord. Hear from Him.
Amen.
And get it out.
That's right.
God will give you the grace. God will give you the grace to obey Him. It's one of the things, if God tells us to do something, He always provides the grace to do it. Amen. Amen. Let's close with prayer and thank the Lord that He is so good and so merciful. You know, I always say that God is merciful, but then I always have to remember He's a merciful God. But His mercy, we sing, His mercies never come to an end. Maybe they don't, but His judgment does come. Judgment does come. He punishes the wicked. Well, Father, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, that You're so merciful to us, that You're so alive in our lives, that You have knocked down every wall that separates us from what You've promised us. We thank You, Father, that You're our loving Father. We thank You, Father, that You teach us Your ways, that You give us Your word, and that You give us all the grace that we need to obey You. Father, we thank You that as we follow You, as we love You, as we serve You, that we are blessed and not cursed.
Yes,
and Father, we do ask You to give us favor, give us grace, give us mercy with our loved ones, with our family, all those that are affected by our decisions, Lord. We thank You, Father, for hearing our prayer today. Father, we ask You to continue to move mightily in our lives. And let us be that pure and spotless holy bride that You're coming back for. That we will be a ready church, a ready bride, holy and separated unto You. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Well, as we...